It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
You serious?
Get out.
The drought.
Out,
look
leave.
Back
go
at the
home,
drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed. It's very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean,
that was really fun. It was really fun to watch Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
What I meant to say is not that the drought was fun, but that reminiscing on the drought is fun. Like, can you believe we did that? Or went through that? Can you believe Romo threw 5 picks and they lost? That's what I meant. Clearly the drought was not more fun.
I saw a highlight the other day of Terrence McGee on a kickoff return touchdown against the Dolphins.
Love it.
I think it was early season.
Yep.
And I'm watching him, and then they show Bledsoe on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, actually, those were some fun games.
There you go.
A few of them during that time. Like Bledsoe to Peerless Price and Eric Moulds and Terrence McGee and Nate Clements. Like the 0-4 team, the one that lost to the Steelers backups,
was actually
a pretty good football team.
That was a good team beyond even a fun team. I mean, Aaron Schatz, when he was with Football Outsiders, did a whole series about, you know, the best teams in NFL history that didn't make the playoffs, and I believe he had that Bills team number one. It's like the best team that missed.
I think it still is. They often list on his site, Aaron Schatz lists, like DVOA. DVOA teams to not make the playoffs. The 0-4 team. Now, I don't know if that particular kickoff return was 0-4. It might have been.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm watching. I'm like, man, like, I remember. Actually, it's weird, Joe. It kind of gives me a little bit of angst in some ways. Because, those were some exciting teams. And then I think about back to that time period. I'm like, I never want to go through that again.
No.
And know that, like, you're not good.
Right.
You're not making the playoffs. Yeah, at the time, you're watching, like, oh, wow, this is exciting. They're throwing these touchdown passes. This great offense. But the end result, you think about being a fan, watching the team back then, and I get actually angst sometimes watching it and thinking about it, to be honest with you. So when you say what you said when they opened up with the clip here, I'm like, no, not for me. Not in that way.
Fun. No. Reminiscing maybe, but not going through it. We will get to James Cook in very short order here, but while we're on it, how many of those drought teams would you say were fun teams? Not even good teams. How many were fun teams?
2011, I think, was pretty fun.
Sure. Yes. Absolutely.
Right?
They're pretty good offensively.
Yeah.
They start hot. Fitz is fun.
Yeah. I mean,
Stevie and Fred Jackson.
As the year went on, it wasn't fun, again, going through it, but that was a fun team with fun personalities.
Is that the year Spiller goes off and is just running for 50-yard touchdowns every week? Because that was pretty fun. Maybe that was the next year?
I think it was the next year he did that.
Mm-hmm.
We're early in the season.
I wonder if those would be the only two teams you'd say it about them, though. Like, in the whole 17-year drought, how many of those teams were fun? Like, 04 and 11 might be it. That might be it. Not a lot else was fun, I would say. So there's that.
Remember, there was a year they started 0-8.
Sure. I would not say that team was fun.
No. And then they won
4.
And then they won 4 of their next 8.
Yep.
And that cost them the number one pick, which would have been Cam Newton.
Yes.
So they get number 3. It cost them the 1 and the 2 pick. Von Miller goes 2.
Hey,
Marcel Darius goes 3. But the point I'm making is it was kind of fun because they were like, oh, okay, well, here we go. And you thought you had something. Mm. But you also knew you're costing yourself here.
Yeah.
Right? It was tough to enjoy it.
Also, looking back, maybe not a bad thing that ended up happening, because if they had Cam Newton, they would have been pretty good for a couple years, but they might have still been going through it with Cam Newton when Josh Allen was eligible to be drafted.
Maybe.
So
maybe.
You probably wouldn't have Josh Allen right now.
If you
now
think
if
butterfly
you had
effect,
Newton.
Of course, all that stuff matters.
And nobody would say in their right mind, oh, I would have taken 10 years of Cam Newton to bypass. You waited an extra 5 years to get Josh Allen. Seems like a worthy trade.
Do you remember that 2010 team at all? They've started 0-8.
Other than them starting 0-8, not really. Is that the year Fitz breaks his ribs and they don't find out about it until the end of the year?
No, that's 2011. That's the next year.
Okay.
That's the next year when he has the they're in Toronto against Washington.
Yeah.
Right? And they have the hot start. That's what helped get him the contract.
Yep.
Right? So the reason I bring up 2010, that's the year they go to Baltimore and have the ball stripped from Sean Nelson in overtime.
Oh, my good. Yes.
Right?
See, this is why the drought is fun. And someone mentions Sean Nelson being held up by the Ravens as the ball's being punched out. And you just go, oh, one, I'd forgotten about it.
And then the next week, they go to overtime again at Kansas City and lose 13-10. Mm. So they get to 0-7 with two overtime losses. They lose to Chicago by 3 points. So they lose by three, lose by three, lose by three. Their first win, the reason I'm asking you, do you remember their first win, the game?
No. First of that season, they were 0-8.
They were 0-8.
Yeah.
And they come home and they play the Detroit Lions. And the Lions, I think, they were 2-6, and the Bills won 14-12.
I don't remember anything about that game.
Exactly.
14-12. Yeah, okay, this is more fun. 14-12s and 13-10s were thrown around here. Like these were the games.
I'm looking at the box score. Sean Hill of the Detroit Lions in this game threw 50 times.
Wow.
And had 323 yards.
And they had 12 points.
And they had 12 points. The Bills beat them 14-12.
Wow. All right. Well, we've arrived at Sean. When we arrived at Sean Hill, I believe it's time to get back to present day.
Okay.
But I'm down to reminisce on the drought at any moment in
good
time.
Good morning, everybody.
I've got Sean Nelson.
Including
in my
Sean
brain
Hill
now.
And Sean Nelson.
Morning. Jeremy's off today and through the week. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. Day two of Bills OTAs today, which is not open to the media today, was yesterday. We had some media with Sean McDermott. And one thing that we'll obviously spend most of today on is that James Cook is the only absentee, the only player not there. It is voluntary. And then we've got to get to Joey Bosa as well, because him already being injured is a story as well. Let's start here, though, Sal. Cook not being there, I don't know, how did you feel like McDermott sounded about it? Are you surprised even that, because even didn't you say that they don't usually give attendance at these things? So is it weird maybe or not weird that he kind of, you know, like right out there for everybody, like the only guy not here is James?
Yeah, for the last couple of years, I think Sean's kind of said if a guy's been there or not that's notable, and it'd give you a reason just so you know. But it's not like they go through a list like they do during regular season. This guy's limited. This guy's not here. But for the last couple of years, if I remember right, Sean has given a couple names. Hey, he's dealing with something. He's out personal. You won't see him out there. Just to kind of head it off at the pass so we don't go out there in the media like, where's this guy? I think James, everybody understands. Like, that's the... You know, for Sean McDermott's role, I think as head coach, he understands we're all going to be looking for that, and we're going to be asking him about it. So he's just going to come out and tell us right now, hey, he's not going to be out there today. But he also made sure to say, we're staying in contact. James will be here when he's ready to be here. I didn't think it sounded any different, Joe, than it has for the last month and a half, 2 months. You go back to the owners' meetings, combine, whatever, when you're talking about contract extension questions we've given Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, attendance questions, whatever it is. I don't think anything sounded different yesterday from Sean McDermott than what we've heard from McDermott and Bean for the last 2 months, which is, yep, he's under contract. He'll be here when he needs to be here. Mm-hmm. And right now he's not. So, hey, he's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say this yesterday specifically.
Sure.
But this is kind of how it sounded to me. And, okay, we're going to go out there. I think the other reason why I think Sean gave attendance yesterday, because I think he's really proud that everybody else is there.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody's right here, including, by the way, Josh Allen. I didn't think Josh would be there yesterday.
Yeah. No, I was thinking he probably wouldn't be there either, just because the wedding seemingly being this weekend.
Right.
But he was.
Who knows if he's there today or tomorrow? We're not there for the media.
Right.
So it could very well be, hey, he showed up for a day or 2 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. He could be there all week. I don't know. He even showed up to his 117 holes for charity in the morning yesterday. I was told he played in the morning 12 holes. I got there at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he played 12 holes. Then he went to OTAs.
Yeah.
And he wasn't at the reception part last night. But, I mean, that just says a lot, I think, that Josh is still here doing that, goes to OTAs. But, yeah.
It is his event, and it's a, for a great cause. Josh Allen having to play 12 holes, though, doesn't sound like too much of a burden.
No, I
but I understand.
I get it.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's there then at practice, and then the schedule's getting, you know, jam-packed together. But for Cook, I'm very curious to see how this goes just in now what the next steps are, because this is the last voluntary thing. Right? Like, once they get to minicamp.
This weekend, next week, yes.
This weekend, next week is voluntary.
3 days each.
And then we get to mandatory stuff.
Yeah.
And even, I do want to say, even if he's not there for minicamp, really, like, I feel like training camp is the big one. Because if he's not there for minicamp and that's mandatory, like, that will be a story. It'll still, to me, be, though, these are warning shots that, hey, I could hold out. I want a new deal. I am not happy with my current contract. No one has to guess about James Cook's motivation here or what his deal is. His deal is he's not happy with his current contract.
Yes.
He has written on his social media pages. Like, he's been very clear about that. Even if he hadn't said it, you probably could figure out, oh, he's a running back who made is going to make $4 million this year, had 16 touchdowns last year, and does, like, I understand where he would be coming from. I understand where the Bills are coming from, too, because, I mean, me personally, I would never want my team to operate paying running backs big contracts on their second deals. But I also do understand where James Cook is coming from. He plays a position that in the league will chew you up and spit you out. That position, man, you are one bad knee injury away from poof, there goes your big contract. The one big contract that you might earn in your career at that position, you're one bad injury away at all times at that position from losing it. And he's got a brother that played the position and has gone through all of this before. So, like, it's not surprising to me that Cook could push for this. I still don't know that he will, right? Like, I don't really feel like he's yet pushing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not ugly. No one would call it ugly. The guy's not at OTAs. So, for me, like, my personal opinion is I wouldn't necessarily want to see the Bills pay him $15 million a year, which is what he's asking for, and I also fully understand that he asked for it because of the position he plays. And yeah, the season he just had.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's not, for me, it more lies in the story is not necessarily that he's not at OTAs. The story really is more of the wondering and intrigue of what his plan is.
Right.
Right now. We don't know, as of right now, if he'll be there in 2 weeks at mandatory minicamp. I think that's when it starts to become more of a story. If he misses mandatory minicamp, okay, he's not there. This is getting a little serious. It's still not training camp.
Yeah.
It's mandatory minicamp. It's the middle of June. Okay? Yeah. It's June 10, 11, 12. It becomes a little bigger story. To me, more than anything right now is, what kind of story do we have on our hands? Because we don't know what his plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Is his plan to not be at training camp? Is his plan to hold in at mandatory minicamp or at training camp? That's where this is for me, which is everybody wondering. Because no one knows what his plan is and what he's going to do.
Right.
And it's intriguing. It's interesting because we're trying to figure it out and we won't know until we get there.
Right. And, you know, like, maybe because what's his goal here? His goal is to get paid. His goal is to get the contract that he wants. And anything that happens between now and the start of the year for James Cook will be, other than the normal and obvious work that he'll do, you know, in the workout room and on the practice field and film to get ready for the actual season, his other motivation is going to be, hey, how do I get that deal? How do I get that contract? And you might, I really wonder if he'll take it to this point or if he'll even just make the Bills call his bluff. I'm not playing football on this contract. He's not said that. Trey Hendrickson has said that. Like, guys have said that around the league, and they don't have to hold to it. But Cook has not said that. And you actually have Brandon Bean on the record earlier this month saying that he has no doubt that when it's time to play football, he'll be ready to roll. Speaking about James Cook, the GM is saying, I believe he'll play games. And has also been on the record saying things about how you know, for him to earn a contract like that, like, he's kind of got to do it again. Like, we'd like to see him do it again. That's not his exact wording, but that's how Bean has sounded on the matter of James Cook's contract. Like, let's see you do it again. And that idea that, well, they believe he'll be out there, is Cook want them to think I won't? And that's maybe a good question. Not whether he actually even will hold out of games. I don't believe that he'll ever get to that point. But does James Cook want the Bills to believe that he'll miss?
Do you think he or his agent have communicated anything about his plans
to the Bills themselves?
Yes.
That's a good question. I don't know, from a bargaining standpoint, what's better for you, leaving them in the dark, or I think probably leaving them in the dark would, right? If you told them you want a new deal, if you told them ahead of time, oh, I'll be there for training camp, or I'll be there week two of training camp. You know, like, you kind of lose all
what
your
leverage. What about even mandatory minicamp? When Sean McDermott says we've been in contact, and he says he'll be here when he's ready to be here. Do you think there's been communication between Cook's side to the Bills' side to say, hey, he'll be there for mandatory minicamp, or just kind of leaving it open-ended?
I would bet they don't know. I would agree. I would bet they don't know if he'll be there for minicamp.
I would agree.
And because I just think if you're Cook and that's your plan is to get that deal, you're not telling them what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least when you're showing up. You're not telling them ahead of time. You want all the talk to be about contract. And any of this stuff would be a show of, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with my current deal. And there's going to be this cloud hanging over our heads until this is resolved. And sometimes you get to a year and the season starts and then it kind of goes away. That could happen here. And isn't that kind of your gut feeling of how it's going to go? Or do you think it'll happen? A deal will happen? Because Bean has sounded like they're not in a rush to do a deal right now or feel the need to do it before the season starts. So
I don't think a deal will happen simply from listening to how this has played out for the last 2 months. I mean, Brandon Bean basically said they were far apart, and that's why they pivoted to other guys to get their deals done. And judging by, like, when you say he wants 15, I mean, that's obviously the smoke that's out there for his tweets and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe he's willing to kind of massage that. But if that's kind of even close to the number where he's landing, I think that's a tough sell.
Well, what's
for me to think there's going to be a deal done.
What's interesting there is if they weren't really that close and they moved on to other guys and his standpoint is $15 million, it's interesting to think about what the Bills' standpoint is. What their point of, you know, no return, not a point of no return, but what the position is, what their position is, because
how much do they value him at?
Yeah, and there's guaranteed money and how many years you get on a deal to, and all of that obviously is very impactful to a guy's contract as well. But if he's at 15, are you at 9? And that's the gulf that's needed for you to move on to other guys, and that's the gulf that's needed for there to be this idea that, yeah, we don't really think there's going to be a contract done this summer. Does it have to be that big?
Yeah.
The Bills were at 12, I feel like they would still be. He might be there because they would think, okay, the deal is on its way to being done. We're only a couple of million dollars apart.
Yeah. The question of what constitutes far apart, what constitutes close.
Right.
If you're talking, there's a difference. If you're talking, okay, Josh Allen making $50 million a year, let's say. And if you're negotiating, like, well, we're offering 35, it's 50. That's pretty far apart.
That's a huge difference.
Right?
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
If you're 45 and 50, I think you're pretty close.
Yeah.
But if you're 10 and 15, you're not. There's the 5 million matters.
Right. That's 50% of your, that's 50% of your base salary per year.
I mean,
that's the difference.
For Brandon Bean to kind of put it that way a couple months ago,
yeah,
that's why I don't think that anything's going to get done anytime soon.
So you think your gut feeling is that he is going to play this year, but on that expiring contract? Is that what you would guess right now?
It is my guess right now.
Yeah, I think I would probably say the same.
But I don't know what I struggle with is how does it start though? Does he start to play on it? Is he there on time? Does he miss any actual regular season games?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I,
man, that would be if he missed regular season games. I almost can't. I can't. Guys have done it. But guys have done it. When's the last guy that's done it, though? You see a lot more now.
Well, I mean, Hassan Reddick's missed a whole year last year.
That's true. Hassan Reddick has done. Actually, Hassan Reddick's done it a couple times, maybe. Didn't he do it 2 years ago also? You're right. Reddick did it. I'm thinking of, like, Jamar Chase's, who have held in and made it very clear to the organization, I'm not happy.
Le'Veon Bell?
They end up playing anyway. Le'Veon Bell sat out a whole season.
I mean,
it's pretty wild.
Right. I don't think anything like that would happen, but.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably all or nothing. It's okay. He's like there early at camp. Or, okay, right. This is really going on for a while.
Right.
It's not in the middle, probably.
No, I would think it's probably not either. But, I could see Cook pushing the limits of it. I don't know that he'll miss games. I still feel like that is a pretty extreme place to take it. But guys have done it. But if you're James Cook, and you got your brother in your ear, and your agent, and you just came off two back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, and you just came off a year with 16 touchdowns. And, you know, like, one thing I want to get to is, what really is should he be worth? He's asking for $15 million a year. And to get into him as a player, there are arguments for and against him being worth that much money. There are only three running backs in the league that make $15 million per year. Per year is a pretty simplistic way to do it. It doesn't take in all the guarantees and everything. Ashton Jeanty, actually, is second in the league at running back in guaranteed money because he just got drafted so high. And I guess the Raiders fully guaranteed his contract. Do you know that? $35 million. That's happening a lot, I guess. But it's Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Derrick Henry.
And Henry's exactly at 15.
And he's exactly at 15.
On his new extension.
Right. Those are the only three running backs that are at $15 million per year. McCaffrey, Barkley, and Henry. Not in that order.
I mean, and if you're the Bills, are you... Think of the Bills side. If you're doing your evaluation of James Cook, you're going through, what do we value him at? Are you landing on that? I understand why the Bills probably wouldn't and say,
right,
we're not paying him one of those kinds of guys. You got to do comparables. So where do we value him based on where the league is? Because
yeah,
that's how it's done. And where other guys are. I mean... We could look at the list and say, where would he fall?
Yeah.
You have James Conner. You can get down to $10 million. Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs is 12. Kamara is 12.2. I think you're probably looking lower than that. You're looking at the Joe Mixons and James Conners and David Montgomerys of the world who are below $10 million a year.
Yeah. 803-0550, the phone number. Let's squeak Butch in here before we get to a break. Butch on the east side, what's up?
Good morning, my friends. I appreciate it. I love WGR. I love MSJ to the fans who listen and watch. Butch definitely loves you. I just want to get right on to it, what you guys are speaking about. It's the perfect storm. This is the perfect storm for James Cook's agent. It's the perfect storm for the Buffalo Bills, and I'm going to tell you why. The Buffalo Bills are going on hard knocks at training camp. Before this happened, we didn't know it was going to be on hard knocks. Before James Cook and all this financial situation happened, we didn't know nothing about this stuff. Now we're about to go on hard knocks. He could come in and don't even, like you say, he can hold in, hold out, whatever he can do. It's going to be a topic of hard knocks. At the same time, the whole NFL, the whole 32 or 31 other teams knows this guy is a top back. At the same time, Buffalo has three other backs. You know, we even got Frank Gore Jr. ready to ball. Brandon Bean knows exactly what is going on. This draft we just passed was weak. It wasn't a strong draft. Next year's draft is the strongest draft. Brandon Bean might play this guy out and say, listen, hey, if he signs somewhere else next year, so be it. We get a compensatory pick. Hope we got it. He was a second-round pick when we draft him. Hopefully we can get another two, and we just break even. But what's going to happen is this. This is me speaking now. I really believe this man's going to hold in. I believe he's going to hold in training camp. He's going to be the talker. It's going to be a talker, the whole hard knocks. It's going to follow James Cook. They're going to follow him walking around. They're going to follow him moping. I'm not saying moping. He might be on the treadmill, whatever he's going to do. But at the same time, during preseason, somebody's going to get hurt. Someone's going to call Brandon Bean. It's a possibility this man might get moved out of here by training camp, and Brandon Bean might get his number two back and maybe another extra pick later on. But at the same time, for both sides of the fence, it's a win-win. Don't get me wrong, I would love James Cook. I would love him to get a deal. I would love him to be here with Josh Allen running that ball, running that rock. But at the same time, we got three other backs, and three other backs are ready to roll and rock. Matter of fact, if you add Evans in here, we got four other backs. But I'm just saying, is looking at this Hard Knock situation fires on James Cook's agent side,
yeah,
is a perfect storm that he can do. But thanks so much for taking my call. Love you guys, man. And you guys take care of yourself.
Thanks.
And Sal, do me a favor. Kiss the queen and give my nephew my five.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, Butch, for the call. I had not thought about the Hard Knocks component to it. I do not think the Bills would do anything differently because they're on Hard Knocks. But I also could see them wanting to – maybe it sparks an extra conversation that helps you towards a deal because, you know, whether they want to be on it or not in the first place, I'm sure they don't want HBO would want this. The viewer would want this. I'm sure the Bills don't want a massive part of the Hard Knocks story for them to be about James Cook not being there or being there and wanting a new contract.
No, I'm sure that's the case. Having Hard Knocks there already is a distraction in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This just adds a layer to it, meaning that this is something that you talk about instead of... In a lot of ways, maybe it takes the focus off some other things, I guess, that they could be focusing on. But you're right. I don't think that that's good for anyone. You do wonder what it looks like for James Cook and his side. From a PR standpoint, from Cook's PR standpoint, if you're his agent, do you want that? Do you want him being highlighted that he's not, if he holds in and they're following him around, he's not practicing?
Yeah.
Does that help his cause or hurt his cause with fan opinion, public opinion, or even teams around the league?
Yeah. And by the way, they would not get a second round pick in compensatory for Cook if he were to leave. Looking at that formula, I guess I didn't know that it was a combination of your average per year and also how many snaps you play, your snap percentage, because that might ding Cook a little bit because he plays less than 50% of the snaps for the Bills. A comparable for him might be Alvin Kamara. Kamara's at $12 million and plays, 55% of the snaps. If that's about what James Cook is, it's a fifth-round pick. Maybe you get up to a fourth in different circumstances. They're not getting a second. A second is almost unheard of. You can't get a second at all.
Third is the best you can get in compensatory picks.
Gotcha. Okay, so they're definitely not getting a second then in that. James Cook, what two parts of this. What is your gut feeling on what's going to happen, and what is he worth? Not just what is he worth in the league, what is he worth to the Bills? And what a next contract could look like for him. We got to get to Joey Bosa as well because there's already a story there with him being injured. A lot to get to. The Knicks fall last night to the Pacers. Some good basketball to get to. And I've actually got another sand question. We talked a lot about sand after Sal ducked out yesterday. I have another sand question.
Oh, I was driving. Some guy called from down where I used to live in Southwest Florida.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should talk to Sal about that. He lived down here. And
yes.
He's talking about hurricanes or sand or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. But we've got to bring sand.
Okay.
Sand. I didn't know there were different types of sand until last week.
Okay. There was something about sand that I heard as well, and I want to bring it to you. And I have no idea if it has anything to do with what you're going to say.
Okay.
So we'll compare notes here.
Josh, get the Anakin Skywalker clip ready to go. 803-0550 is the phone number on James Cook, Joey Bosa, and a lot more. Andy Young is going to join us at 8 o'clock on this. So stay tuned for that here on WGR.